This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. 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 اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا وحنا محمد السمية. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد. Thank you all so much for coming. السلام عليكم شيخة. الحمد لله. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بحمده. سبحان الله وبحمده. سبحان الله وبحمده. سبحان الله وبحمده. سبحان الله وبحمده. السلام عليكم شيخة.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you?
It's such a blessing to see you. MashaAllah. May Allah bless you. JazakAllah khair for coming on.
Barakallahu fiki for inviting me, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. I have the extreme honor and the immense privilege and the joy of introducing Sheikha Jamaluddin. MashaAllah, Sheikha Jamaluddin is not only a Sheikha, but MashaAllah, she is someone who is a da'iyah. She uses her knowledge and shares it and teaches in Australia. MashaAllah, she has studied the Quran. She has an ijazah. She's memorized it. And MashaAllah, she studied in Saudi Arabia as well. She has a bachelor's in Islamic studies. And MashaAllah, as a mother of five children, four of her five children, tabarakAllah, have already memorized the Quran. And inshaAllah, the fifth will as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of them of those who live it and love it. And MashaAllah, she is also a convert. And alhamdulillah, she has been a convert for over 30 years and has dedicated her life to Islam. So Sheikha Jamaluddin, we are very honored and excited to hear your story today, inshallah. I've had the extreme privilege of, alhamdulillah, getting to know you more personally in this past year. And I'm just so excited to actually talk to you, alhamdulillah. Can you share with us, Jamaluddin, Sheikha Jamaluddin, how you came to the Quran? What is the steps, especially as someone who's a convert, who has no background in Arabic, who's coming into the religion fresh? How did you enter the Quran?
All right. First of all, bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah, rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri, wa hlul uqtatan min lisani, yafqahu qawli, amin. First of all, I just want to say barakallahu fiki, Sheikha Maryam, for inviting me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate you in status in dunya and akhirah, and may Allah not hold us to account for what's said about us, and may he forgive us for all of our shortcomings and make us better than what people think. Because, you know, the public image, sometimes it amplifies your true self so much that, you know, I want people to have a realistic image of us. we're not on an unattainable status or anything like that. Barakallahu fiki. So look, I'll just start off first mentioning how I first got introduced to the Quran. So like initially I had just read the Quran, you know, the English translation, obviously. And I remember, subhanAllah, a family giving me a lift in the car. And, you know, in the car, they were playing, Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad. Mm-hmm. You know, they were playing his recitation. And I didn't know what it was, you know, so I just asked them, you know, what's that? It's, you know, amazing, the sound, you know, because I actually have a singing background. So, like, you know, I'm very sensitive and, how can I explain it? You know, like, subhanAllah, you know, when you've got that kind of background, you're very more sensitive to, you know, subhanAllah, beautiful sounds, you know? So I just asked them, you know, what's that? And they told me that's the Quran, you know? And I was like, subhanAllah, imagine that, like, I had just read the English translation, and I actually come from a Christian background. My father's a lay preacher. And, you know, the Bible's just read, you know, as in you read it like you read it in your book, right? However, like, to think that, you know, this Quran is in a form that is recited in such a way that's like out of this world, right? Like the sound of it is just like out of this world. That's literally, especially when you listen to, you know, Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad. I mean, the way he recites is just, mashallah, it's another level, right? So that was my first introduction. And like, I remember after that, you know, I would always want to play it in my bedroom. Like, I was still living with my non-Muslim parents at that stage, and I just want to always listen to it. It's just, I'm very attracted to it, you know, the sound. Yeah. I didn't have, of course, I don't understand a word, but you know, and I just love the sound. Then I remember this is really early, like it was probably my first, like they taught, this family told me, oh, you know, on the 27th night in Ramadan, we're going to go to the masjid because, you know, that night in our local masjid, everyone stays the whole night in the masjid, you know, ladies and men, right? So the men are downstairs, the men are upstairs. And then on that night, they had a young girl. She was about, I don't know, 15 or 16, something like that. And they got her to recite the Quran in the front of the masjid, right? And so, like, I'm upstairs and I'm just this new revert, don't know much, and don't know anything, you know? But then I saw this young girl, you know, reciting the Quran, and I was really taken in by that, you know, it just, and just the whole night itself, you know, everybody knows, like, inshallah, it was the night of Laylatul Qadr, but, you know, I think it was like I was having some sort of, you could describe it as like a spiritual experience, you know, like I felt like there was like sakina around me, there was like nur, like it was just a beautiful feeling on that night, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, she was reciting the Quran, and then I was like asking after that about her, you know, like, who is she? You know, they told me, oh, like, mashallah, like her mum had come back to Islam, and, you know, her mum, they're born Muslims, but, you know, the mum had come back to Islam, and, you know, her mum had started to memorize the Quran, and all her kids, she got her kids to memorize the Quran too. So when I heard that, I was like, I don't know, it just came in my heart, like, inshallah, I want to be like that too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it just came in my heart, you know, like that.
Beautiful, subhanallah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. And so, like, after that, I mean, even from the very beginning when I first reverted, like, straight away I started memorizing, like, short surahs of the Quran, right? But I couldn't read Arabic, so I used to just read from the you know, I'd memorize from the transliteration. Mm-hmm. What I used to do is I had a book, and I would just write out the, you know, transliteration, and then I would write the English underneath.
That's how
okay,
I
say.
Exactly.
So, like, I memorized all the really short surahs, like, you know, and just to give people an idea of how difficult it was, you know, like, I remember one of the earliest surahs I memorized was Surah Al-Kafirun, all right? Mm-hmm. That took me about 3 weeks because it was really tricky, you know, like, you know, I had to...
That long?
Yeah, about 3 weeks to memorize Surah Al-Kafirun because it's a tricky surah, you know?
Yes.
So that was... That's my introduction to the Quran, right? But then if we're talking about the actual journey of the Quran, like, so that's when I got serious and sort of, you know, really took those serious steps. Yes. So, like, just so people have a realistic understanding of what it takes to memorize the Quran, right? Because I think that people have got, there's too many stories of this person who memorized in 9 months or, you know, and 3 months, and then everyone thinks, oh my God, what's wrong with me? Why can't I memorize in, you know? And especially if you're not an Arabic, like, you know, you're not a native Arabic speaker. I mean, to compare yourself to that is just so unrealistic, all right? Unless you're like Imam al-Bukhari that has like a photographic memory. Anyway, look, to be honest, for me, it took me over a span of 20 years to memorize the Quran.
Allah Akbar.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
Oh, everyone who's listening and who thinks, oh, is it too late for me? Oh, I've been doing it for 2 years and I'm not done yet. 20 years.
Yeah. And because, look, I had a lot of life going on in between. Like, I had 5 kids, alhamdulillah, and I had a lot of life going on in between. So, in a nutshell, I mean, I'll say how it was in a nutshell and I'll go into a bit more of specifics. So, my memorization's kind of divided into two halves. Like, I did like half the Quran in the early stage of my life before I had too many kids. Then I was kind of focused more on the kids while I was still revising and stuff. And then I got to a stage where I kind of got them a bit more off my hands and started and went back serious to finish off the rest of the Quran. You know what I mean? That's how it was for me. But I'll give you a bit of an idea. Like, this is a bit more in detail now. So, alhamdulillah, in very early days of my, like, just after being married and having my first son, alhamdulillah, we had the opportunity to travel to Saudi Arabia, right? But up until that point, I had been memorizing from the transliteration, right? And so I, you know, I did Juz Amma first and Juz Tabarak, you know, Juz Qad Samit, you know. So I think I had like 4 or 5 ajazat, you know, ajazat from, you know, the back of the Quran, right? I had those done, but they were all from the transliteration, okay? Yeah. And of course, in the meantime, also, I have to admit, I have to also mention that obviously I had been learning Arabic, like the script, you know, the Arabic script, how to read and write it. I've also been going to Tajweed lessons too, right? But what happened was, I wasn't able to memorize from the Arabic script because the Arabic wasn't familiar enough with me. Like I wasn't familiar enough with the Arabic to be able to, you know, to be able to memorize from the Arabic, right? So what happened was, alhamdulillah, min fadlillahi ta'ala, Allah ta'ala, he, you know, opened the door for me to be able to study the Quran at Darul Huda in Jeddah. A lot of people may have heard of that amazing institute, alhamdulillah, in Jeddah. So what happened was, you know, the first class I took, we had to memorize the whole of Surat Ali Imran.
Wow. Right? They just started you that.
Well, because I already had a bit of Tajweed background by then. And believe it or not, I was still memorizing. I actually memorized the whole of Surat Ali Imran from my transliteration, mind you. I still did it. But what happened was I came to the next year and we were going to do Surat Al-Baqarah, right? Surat Al-Baqarah, right?
Yeah.
So what happened was I started doing the first few pages of Surat Al-Baqarah. I said to myself, I just can't keep continuing like this anymore. I've got to go on to the Arabic script. But look, by that time, I was a lot more familiarized with the Arabic script.
Mm-hmm.
So I began, alhamdulillah, memorizing, you know, from the Arabic script by then, right? So that's how I got myself onto that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing that I should mention that was significant for me at this point, you know, that alhamdulillah, while I was living in Jeddah, you know, alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity to meet many female hafizat al-Quran, right? Many, many. And look, one of them that particularly I have to mention, you know, inspired me probably the most was my sheikha, Karima. Serenpinski. It's difficult to say her last name, but you may know her. She's very, mashallah, her Tajweed books are very well known. Her Tajweed site, like online, is very well known. And she's an American revert, actually, American convert. Been living in Saudi for probably, I'm not sure how many, maybe at least must be 40 years by now she's been living there.
Mm-hmm.
But when I knew her, she had just finished memorizing the whole Quran, right? She just finished and she'd been doing the murad, like the revision. So basically, you know, to see another revert like myself,
mm-hmm.
I said to myself, you know, if she can do that, you know, she can memorize the whole Quran and she's a revert, she's a convert, whatever you want to call us, you know. Then inshallah, bi-ibnillah, with the help of Allah Ta'ala, I can do it too. You know, that's basically what, you know, really inspired me, I think, as well. That, you know, if she can do it, you know, we can all do it, inshallah, bi-ibnillah, with the help of Allah, right?
And Allah.
So, okay, so I stayed in Saudi for a bit longer and then, you know, we ended up coming back to Australia because by then I had twins as well. So, like, that was, I just couldn't cope overseas with twins and another child. That was just no. So we came back to Australia and... by then I'd memorized up to the end of Surat An-Nisa. And, you know, and we didn't have any local places you could memorize Quran back then, right? So basically what I did, I asked around my community because we have a lot of Arabic speaking sisters in my community, alhamdulillah. So I looked around and, you know, I found someone on a similar level of hifz as myself. And, you know, we started memorizing together and revising as well. And I remember we did up to probably like the end of Surat Tawbah, right? And then about 10 years ago, when I wasn't as focused on helping my kids with their hifz, I began my own program and I started memorizing like 4 ajazat each year. And that took me about 4 or 5 years. So that's in a nutshell the way I went. But, you know, what I'm saying is like, I kind of got the first sort of 10 and last 5 in the beginning. And then there was like a time where I was going through where I was just like doing other things, like a lot of other things in between, a lot of other things, but still revising, always revising, alhamdulillah, my Quran and stuff like that. But then I went back into the more serious memorization, you know, about 10 years ago.
SubhanAllah. There are some really powerful points that I think resonate with so many people. You talked about memorizing with a transliteration. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's literally writing out the Arabic in English. So instead of reading Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim in Arabic, you'd write B-I-S-M-I-L-L-A-H and read Bismillah for every single word of the surah she's memorizing. So you memorized, you said four ajza and surah
Al. I did probably about the last five, I think it was, the last five. And then I know I did Al Imran and I started at Al-Baqarah, but like I said, it was just like, I couldn't continue like that.
Many of us, you know, when we start with the Quran, we're like, oh, our Arabic isn't good, it's really weak. It doesn't matter, I'm gonna read it in English and I'm gonna just memorize it. SubhanAllah, powerful. So I have a few questions, a lot of questions actually. Did you listen while you were reading at the same time? Did you do those both at the same time?
So look, alhamdulillah, look, I like, min fadlillahi ta'ala, like Allah ta'ala blessed me with an Arabic speaking husband, right? So by the time I, you know, it was only not very long I was memorizing on my own. And then after that, like I would memorize on my own, but then I would check it back with my husband. You know, he would, you know, he'd be able to listen to my pronunciation, because I just wanted to put a little bit of a warning that if you decided to memorize from the transliteration, you'd really need someone else there who's got, you know what I mean, native Arabic speaker to be able to, like, because you can make a lot of serious mistakes with the pronunciation if you memorize from transliteration. Just to put that, I think that's important to mention.
Thank you. It is so important. And that's just memorizing the Arabic and you're not sure how you're pronouncing it.
So that's right.
Definitely always work with the teacher. Sometimes people ask me about memorizing. And I'm like, do you have a teacher? You need a teacher. But also, so when you were doing this transliteration, were you also reading the English translation at the same time to understand what you were memorizing?
So what I used to have this book and I'd actually write out the transliteration and underneath would be the English words. Okay. So what happened was I did start picking up a bit of Arabic, like, you know, fi dunya wal akhirah, you know, like you'd start to make, like, you know, seeing that dunya, oh, it means, you know, this world and, you know, akhirah is next life. So, and I kind of had Lebanese friends as well. So I had, you know, I knew bits and pieces of Arabic, like, you know, different words. Mm-hmm. But that's how I was trying to make it relevant by, you know, by always putting the English translation underneath.
Yes, subhanAllah. Yeah. Okay, jazakallah khairan for sharing that.
Jazakallah khair.
For, you know, memorizing, especially as people who come from non-Arabic, you know, non-native Arabic backgrounds, there's this expectation that we're just going to, like, get it. And it's like, no, like, you really need to get it in your own language for a really long time before you start getting to be able to process the Arabic of it.
Mm.
You also mentioned your life, and that was of this journey. One of them was seeing a young woman reciting Quran when you were just kind of becoming just fresh into Islam. And the second example of Sheikha Karima.
No.
So these, you know, alhamdulillah, you were surrounded by women who memorized the Quran in Jeddah. Just, this is normal when you're surrounded by that.
Absolutely.
What impact do you think, or how important do you think it is for women to see other women in women's spaces memorizing Quran, reciting Quran? In your own story, subhanAllah, those were two huge, you know, points that many women don't ever experience.
Yeah, look, I didn't realize how powerful that was until I realized there's so many people out there who have never had that. Like, alhamdulillah, wallahi, as a revert or a convert, I just realized how Allah blessed me so much that I had such a positive experience into Islam. Because had I had a different experience where I'd never been exposed to any of that, I don't know. You know what I mean? It could have been very different. But alhamdulillah, Allah just, you know, let me have that experience. Alhamdulillah. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. You, mashallah, are a mother who has helped your children memorize Quran. So many of us want our children to memorize Quran, want them not just to memorize, but to love it, to live it, to understand it, to call to it. How did you, mashallah, for, you know, when one child memorizes the Quran, we say, Tabarakallah, that's a blessed family. May Allah protect you, bless you and your family. How did you encourage four out of five, and mashallah, your fifth is on the in the process, inshallah? Like, how did you do that?
Okay, what I want to do here, because I like to be real, okay? I think real is very important because these days everything is so fake. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So number one, the very important, there's a few disclaimers, first of all. All right. So first of all, number one, I wasn't working. Okay. When I had my first and I had my twins, mashallah, I was not working back then. So I was able to, you know, focus obviously on my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I made that my priority. Like, that's just, I wanted to do that. That was, I was inspired. I've met families in Saudi who, you know, like 9 kids had memorized the Quran. And I was like, Ya Allah, I want to be like that. You know, I want my kids to be like that. I'm not going to let the fact that I'm living in Australia be an excuse.
Wow.
Okay. And we didn't have Quran schools or anything back then. Right. So, so I was, alhamdulillah, like I said, I had the, you know, Allah Ta'ala gave me the circumstances that made it, you know, easy for me to be able to just focus primarily on their memorization. And, you know, I really want that for my kids because, like, I knew how difficult it was to memorize as an adult. And I just wanted my kids to be able to, I thought if I can go into life with it, Allahu Akbar, it's, you know, the best, mashallah, you know. The second disclaimer is, you know, I have to say I have a very Allah Barak supporting husband. So, you know, this is something my husband wanted too. My husband wanted this for the kids as well. So that's why, you know, he was behind me and, you know, he was helping me as well in the home. So he, you know, he enabled it and made it, you know, facilitated it for, you know, for me to be able to do this. And that's why I just want to say to sisters, you know, don't think he can do everything, right? Don't think he can have that. If you want to get your kids to memorize the Quran, don't expect that you're going to have this spotless house and you're going to have the best food on the table and, you know, you're going to be an amazing wife and calm and relaxed and, you know, it's not, you know, you can't do everything, all right? We think we can do everything, we can't, okay? So it's about, you know, deciding what you're going to do and negotiating that. And I don't want to, it's not just on the mothers, I just want to quickly mention too, it's not just on mothers. Like, I actually know a family, Allahumma barik, Allah's blessed them. They're in Sydney. They got 10 kids. The dad's the one who's seeing with each of the kids, right? And he's the one getting the kids to memorize. And I think they've got like about, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 kids already memorized from those 10. So it's not always just on the mum, right? The other thing, which is very important to mention, is that my kids do have an Arabic background.
Okay.
Yeah. My husband is a native Arabic speaker. And Allahumma barak, you know, since they were small, he's always spoken Arabic to them. So like, it does make a huge, look, I'm going to be honest, it does make a difference to have an Arabic background. And so, you know, if your kids aren't from an Arabic speaking background, you should not compare to someone who has, you know, Arabic speaking kids. Like my kids aren't fully Arabic speaking, like a normal Arab household, because I've always spoken English to my kids, but they still, you know, they've still got, I mean, like now, alhamdulillah, some of them are very, very fluent. Like you wouldn't even know, right? But I'm saying, they still had that Arabic because my husband was always speaking to them and they were always replying back in Arabic, right? So that's my disclaimers.
I'm so sorry to cut you off. Please go ahead.
That's okay. No, go. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I really appreciate you pointing out these privileges, because not every person has the same privileges or opportunities as other people. And many times when we talk about the Quran, it is as if everyone has the same opportunities and is given the same in privileges, and that's so unreal. So thank
exactly.
you for being so upfront about the realities of, alhamdulillah, that you had these particular circumstances when that's not the reality for so many people. And none of us should compare our realities with yours, but
that's you, right.
We can all still take from the advice that you can give, because
inshallah.
There's that inshallah are relevant to anybody.
Yeah. So, okay. So going to my tips, inshallah, bi-idhnillah, on, you know, how to get your kids motivated into this path of Quran, right? So obviously, number one, really, and this is the best advice I could give anybody, right? And that is, you have to look at your own love and connection to the Quran. That is so fundamental. With anyone who's got any idea about raising kids, action speaks far louder than words, right? Mm-hmm. And my personal opinion is that, you know, mothers in particular, they have, you know, a powerful opportunity to set the tone of the household. You know, like, you know, imagine, inshallah, if, you know, if your kids, you know, they're walking into the house, they're hearing the recitation of their mother, you know, there's just that motherly, you know, that bond between the mother, especially in the early years. They wake up in the morning and hear the recitation of the mother. You know, generally, it's just a normal part of their household, you know, it's to hear that sound of their mother and the warmth, you know, of the mother that you've got that, you know, connection with her. And then the other thing is very, very important, which unfortunately some people had this damage, which is very sad, but the kids have to grow up from small having had a positive attachment to Quran, right? So what if you can try to combine between like the warmth of the love of the mother along with the recitation of the Quran, You know, an example of that, for example, you know, when you're rocking them to sleep at night, you know, you've got that warmth, you're holding them on your lap, you're embracing them, and you're, for example, reciting Ayat al-Kursi, for example, and they associate the recitation of the Quran with something so warm and loving.
Yes. Right?
This is very powerful. Okay, so we want them, the most important part is to help them to grow up having their hearts attached to the Quran and having positive memories of the Quran, like associated with the Quran. I think this is really fundamental, right? But besides that, then obviously if you want to do this yourself, like there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, we have a lot more alternatives now, but you know, time management, obviously for anything you want to achieve, you need to have time management, right? So here, you know, if you're going to be, you want to your kids to memorize the Quran, like I did start off with one. I only had one. It's very hard to do. I don't know how anyone does, you know, a whole lot in one go. I only had one. So I start off with him. And obviously it's your first child, you have a lot more time to work with them. Yeah. So, and it's a priority. And it's like, it's a daily thing. You do it every single day at a certain time. You have days of revision and you have days of like where you're memorizing, but you have to also be ready to sacrifice other things. Like there were many times where like while other people were out having barbecues and, you know, doing stuff on the weekend, we were home, like we were home a lot in those early days. And, you know, we were revising, and I'm not saying I made it boring for them, but I'm just telling you that you can't just be out there and like, we've only got so much energy, right? You can't be out there doing all this stuff and then you want to come home and do this memorization with your kids. You just got to really conserve your energy and you got to focus your efforts and energy into one place, right? And so that's why, you know, like you really need to decide if this is what you really want, you know, then you got to focus on that goal and don't try to multitask. Don't try and do like I think we are living in probably one of the hardest times now for sisters in particular. You know, it's so much harder now to stay focused on your goals. Like imagine, I can't imagine how it must be for some of you. May Allah make it easy. Like your young sisters, you've got your young kids and you're going on social media and, you know, this sister's, you know, she's written a book and this other sister's doing Dawah and this other sister's, you know, and you're just overwhelmed and you're like, okay, yeah, I want to do that and I want to start my business and I want to, and then I'm supposed to be a perfect wife and mother and there's too much, there's so many distractions now. Like I didn't have that. Like back then it was like, okay, I knew a few sisters were doing stuff in the community, but like, you know what I mean? I didn't have to turn on my social media and get bombarded with all these successful, so you know what I mean, stories. And I'm thinking like, I'm hopeless. I'm only sitting here with my kids memorizing Quran. You know what I mean? So I think that's a real battle for everyone now, how to stay focused and then how to not also constantly be comparing yourself to what everyone else is doing and feeling like you're not doing enough.
Right.
So yeah, I think that's, yeah. So like, look, if you want to memorize, if you want to do something like this in this day and age, you're going to have enormous and enormous amount of, you know, patience and perseverance, you know, absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, you wanted to ask a question?
You started by about how, you know, building that love for the Quran with your children, you know, from the very beginning of just holding them, rocking them, reciting the Quran for them. And then you're kind of shifting to talking about the nitty gritty reality of it takes time and it takes a lot of focus and effort. You know, children at times don't want to sit and recite. They just want to play. So how do you balance that when, you know, you want to inculcate this love. You don't want them to feel like they were pushed into doing something and they missed out of other things as children.
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So my daughter's just come on. See it. My oldest daughter, alhamdulillah, yeah. So look, alhamdulillah again, alhamdulillah for everything. When I went to that Quran school in Jeddah, when I started memorizing the Quran, they actually had like a class for kids that were 3 years of age. And it was an amazing class, and the teacher Allah Mubarak, may Allah bless her, she just had a beautiful way in incorporating the memorization of the Quran, you know, with the level of the kids. So for example, this is one of the greatest lessons I learned from her, how to make the Quran light on the kids so they actually enjoy memorizing. Okay. So she had little techniques, like, of course, the main way that kids learn at that age is repetition. Okay. But So she'd have them do different things while they're memorizing. So, for example, she might put the little kids like in a little train. They're putting their hands on each other's, you know, shoulders, and they're going wadduha wallayli idha saja, like they're like this, and you know, they're going round. Or she might have them on the table. One stands up and says one ayah, the other one stands up. You know, she tried to like, you've got to have some activity going on, but then, you know, but of course not disrespectful for the Quran, but you know, just light activity. And so what I adopted for my kids, one of the things I did, I didn't used to make them sit there with their arms crossed. So like my son, he would be like playing with his Lego, for example, when kids used to play with Lego, that was on the floor, and he'd just be playing because kids are listening.
Yes.
Like anyone of you here, you've all got small kids, right? You all know kids are listening. Even if they look like they're not listening, they might be looking like they're concentrating, but they're actually listening. So I would just recite the Quran over and over again, like the particular ayat I wanted him to memorize. And then you'll find, subhanAllah, that after a couple of days, like you recite it for like, say you do it, say 10 times on the first day, 10 times the next day, 10 times the next day. By the next day, if you come on, yalla habibi, sit on the lounge. Mm-hmm. Let me hear what you've got so far, you know, and you'll find, subhanAllah, they've got a lot of the words already there.
That's so beautiful. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, and then obviously as well, when he'd memorize a certain amount, mm-hmm. I used to give him like when he'd memorize, I was firm on him, especially my first one. He had more discipline and stuff, but like I would always give him when he'd completed a certain thing I wanted him to do. Mm-hmm. I'd give him like a little, I don't even know, Kinder surprises.
Oh yeah,
like comes in an egg. He used to get that, you know, he'd open it up, and he used to love that. And when you know, when they're older, like they weren't allowed to go on the PlayStation when they had PlayStation. Uh-huh. I don't know if people play with PlayStation anymore. But like if you had an iPad, like you've got to have a routine. So the best thing is first thing in the morning, yeah. When they first wake up, get them when they're fresh, and then they can do whatever they want the rest of the day. Okay. That's how I kind of got. You've got the when the kids get used to it from when they're small. It's really easy. They grow up like that, and it's just they take it. It's normal for them. So yes. That's, you know, you've got to make it normal.
Yes.
But the other thing I wanted to say, that the earlier you begin, the better, mm-hmm. right? So why I say that is because you need the tongue to get used to the recitation.
Mm-hmm.
Because when a child is born, if you've ever studied anything about speech development, like they've actually got the capacity to grab any sort of letter altogether. But as you get older, you lose it.
Your tongue changes.
So, yeah. So I could say, like, as soon as my kids were saying basic words, around about two years and 3 months, you know, you start getting them to memorize Quran. So, for example, Surat Al-Ikhlas. That's the best one. It's easy, very short. And again, don't think they're not taking it in. Like, they're just staring at you, mm-hmm. and you think they're not taking anything in. Guess what? After they start talking more, it all starts coming out. And don't be too fussy about, like, they don't have every little harf or every little letter. Like, they've got the idea, you know what I mean? They're getting it, you know?
Yeah.
So the advantage of teaching them when they're very young like that is, number one, like I said, getting their tongue used to it. And then number two, it becomes a normal part of their life. Like, they grow up with it, and it's just, like, something that is so normal to them that they can't imagine life without Quran in their day.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
You know what I mean?
SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
That is such an example.
Yeah, and then obviously too, because I'm trying to think about all different age groups here because everyone starts on different age groups. But look, I did used to sit with my kids and, you know, talk about the basic meaning behind the story. For example, you know, Surat Al-Lahab,
yeah.
You know, you talk about the story. You're going to make it exciting. Like, kids need you to make it, they need you to break it down for them, make it relevant to their life. You know, so that they really feel, oh, yeah, you know, oh, that's really bad. You know, how did he do that? You know, and so that's what it's about. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was, you know, don't be in a rush to get them to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like sometimes people get in a little bit of a, you could say maybe an unhealthy mindset where it's like, I want my kid to memorize the Quran by the time they're four. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's like, ultimately it's not a competition, and it's not about how, like, let me tell you straight out, okay, this is my experience, please, you know, inshallah, I hope it's, you know, you take it on, but it's not about how old they are when they finish, but you know, the main aim is, and ask yourself this, are they going to grow up and keep revising it as a youth and adult?
Right.
That is more important, because I have to say, I've seen a lot of sad stories in my time, where people, like, they really were putting a lot of pressure on their kids to memorize, you know, in a really young age. And then, unfortunately, that kid grew up and lost their Quran. They didn't even feel motivated to keep revising it or, you know, continuing on with the Quran in their life. And yeah. I would rather have my kid finish later and be self-motivated to hold on to it and be revising it than, you know, they memorize in a really young age and then they just, maybe they've got bad even experiences with it and, you know, and they just lose it.
I've had so many young adults talk to me about how they're just starting to go back to religion after they have memorized the Quran as a child and then completely distanced themselves from it because they just couldn't stand, you know, the idea of feeling like they were forced into constantly memorizing. When you have, you know, parents who want this for their kids and they think that the way that they need to do it is just, you know, pushing them into it, this, when the kids don't even want it themselves, when you have teenagers, when you have older kids, what kind of advice do you have for parents who didn't start out, you know, in this loving, nurturing, fun way with memorizing the Quran, and now either they are trying to encourage their child, but their child wants nothing to do with it, or they have had children who've been kind of forced into memorizing Quran and now they really don't want anything to do with it. What kind of advice do you give in those circumstances?
Look, with regards to the parent who may have had a bad experience themselves, it could even be worthwhile, you know, addressing the trauma that you may have, you know, because you don't want to pass that on. Like, you never know how you might unconsciously be, you know, kind of, you know, giving your child the impression that you've got some sort of negativity, for example. So you want to kind of like address that trauma, inshallah, within yourself so that you can get over that. Because, you know, really, as I said to you, it's really important our own approach. Like, if you really are coming to the Quran with your heart, like, full of love to the Quran, the children sense that straight away. And that's the most important thing. And like I said, it's going to be your example ultimately. Like, you can say as much as you want, you know, Habibi, go revise or go memorize or whatever. But if you're not actually kind of giving that as an example that you're always with the Quran yourself, then why should he go do it and you're not doing it, you know? So that's one thing, you know. And obviously, I think as parents, we all know we've got things we don't like about the way our, you know, the way we were parented. So we don't want to be doing the same mistakes. So we've got to think, go back and think, okay, what can I do to make sure I don't fall into that, you know, pass that mistake back on to my, you know, to my kids. I forgot the other part. You know, if someone's been brought up with, you know, trauma themselves. Again, I think it would be worthwhile to consider doing some work with that. Realize that that was just actually not the Quran that you've got a problem with. It's actually, unfortunately, the parenting style that has sort of, you know, given you some trauma that now you've unfortunately attached to the words of Allah Ta'ala. But the words of Allah Ta'ala themselves are something that, you know, subhanAllah, there's so much, you know, blessing in them, and the hope and the motivation that you get from the words of Allah, the resilience, the solidifying of your iman that you get through reciting the Quran, that, you know, subhanAllah, you're missing out on that if you're not holding on to it, you know?
Subhanallah. Jazakallah khair.
Yeah. Jazakallahu khairan.
I was working at a long time ago, I worked at a Muslim camp, and I was teaching Quran for the kids. And one of the things that we did was, because they were so excited all day, they got to paint and run and everything was, you know, water games. But for Quran time, what we did was we made it like you mentioned, like for the younger kids, we had them listening while they were just playing. But for the older kids, it was just games. It was like games with Quran. And it just really changed, you know, the perspective of teens who came in like, oh, Quran class, but then left with like, what is Quran class? Because it became relevant. And so
yeah,
it was like relevance of the Quran, because like you said, the Quran isn't just like, you're not memorizing it for a deadline. You're memorizing it because it's a your life, and it will ground you in the resilience, the healing.
Right.
Can you honor us with your own recitation of the Quran?
Inshallah, bi-idhnillah. Just let me, I'll take some warm water because I have a bit of a problem with my throat. Oh. It often gets croaky on me sometimes when I'm, you know, if I had a coffee or something.
Oh, may Allah keep you forever.
Barakallahu fiki. All right, inshallah.
Do you want to tell us where you'll be reciting from? So if anyone...
Oh, yes, that's a very good idea. Inshallah, I'm going to revise reading from Surat Al-Hashr, the last page.
Okay.
Surat Al-Hashr, inshallah.
10th chapter. Is that called?
No. Barakallahu fiki. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم
ما شاء الله تبارك الله بارك الله فيك. That was beautiful, ما شاء الله. Do you have a particular reciter you listen to frequently?
I'll be honest with you, not a lot.
Okay.
Because by the time I finished doing on my own revision and reading,
yes,
and all the other things I do in my day,
right,
I don't tend to actually listen as much.
Yes.
You know what I'm trying to say? But yes. Like in the past, I always loved, you know, Sheikh Abdul Basit,
yeah.
Abdul Samad. I mean, I think maybe because I started out with him. So, and you know, Al-Husri, and also
Al-Husri. This is who I thought of when you were reciting. I was waiting.
Oh, okay.
He is Al-Husri.
So yeah, alhamdulillah.
Mashallah, it's beautiful. Jazakallah khairan.
Barakallah fiki.
You know, there were so many themes from what we talked about today, whether it was learning about the Quran and listening to it, and that is what brought you this, like, you know, this like amazed, like you were amazed when you, you know, looking into Islam and becoming Muslim. The young girl who you heard recite, your Quran teacher, talking about women inculcating this love for their children and loving it ourselves. So many of us didn't grow up in communities where we saw women reciting the Quran constantly. And, you know, many times right now, women say, I wish that I had this connection, but they blame themselves for not having it. And I think that we all should be responsible. Of course, we should all be responsible. But there are also times that women never were exposed to the idea, or were oftentimes, I've heard so many stories of women who were not encouraged to go towards the Quran, because at the end of the day, you're never going to leave Tarawih. So what's the point of memorizing? I've heard that so many times, unfortunately. What is the culture like in Australia for women and Quran memorization? Are there women who are actively memorizing Quran? What is it like for women to have examples of other women reciting Quran? Does it make a difference for women to have those examples?
Alhamdulillah, in Australia, to be honest, so we have a high percentage of, you know, our community is predominantly an Arabic community.
Oh, okay.
So look, I've always known everybody, like everybody's, alhamdulillah, here very keen to memorize the Quran. We have now, alhamdulillah, Quran schools. You know, people are encouraged, like men or women, you know, it's always been like that. Even our main mosque down here, like they've always had Quran competitions for kids. So, you know, males or females, the kids were always participating in, you know, like, for example, you have to each year you have to memorize a new juz. And then in Ramadan, like the last 10 nights, like, you know, like the night of the 29th, for example, they'll give out the prizes to the kids who have memorized like a new juz, or maybe they've done five, you know, ajazat. So it's like the kids grow up, males or females, you know, memorizing the Quran. And yeah, alhamdulillah, like I think probably sisters are probably memorizing the Quran more than brothers here.
Oh, Allah, that is
to be honest.
Oh, what a blessing to hear. MashaAllah. And that to feel that encouragement from the community, to feel like it's part of this, you know, this culture.
If you look for it, you know, if you look for it, I mean, not everybody, like there's plenty of people not doing that, but I mean, if you look for it, you can find it.
Yeah.
It's not hard to find. If you want to find it, it's there.
And that's
such, you know,
a blessing, subhanAllah.
Yeah, of course. Alhamdulillah.
Do you have advice for someone coming into the Quran as a convert, or someone coming to the Quran as a non-native speaker? What advice would you give to someone who is looking to start their journey, but have felt like they just don't have the background, they've had negative experiences, they don't even know where to begin? What advice would you give?
Look, I think number one, that's what I was sort of getting to before, is number one, don't compare yourself to born Muslims, and especially not the ones from, you know, Arabic speaking background. And realize, just be real and realize that your struggles are going to be far greater than, you know, someone who's already had the Arabic language growing up, or at least they grew up listening and reciting to Quran from when they were small, right? It's very different. And I think the other thing is, you know, always keep in mind that the reward we get for our struggles is according to our, you know, our ikhlas, you know, our sincerity and the effort as well that you put into it. And you know, so you know, the more difficult, and you know, the longer it's going to take you to you know, become fluent in reciting, or you know, in memorizing, then bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, you know, the greater the reward, inshallah. You know, you know, if you look at the hadith recorded by Imam al-Bukhari, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Aisha radiallahu anha, "Ajruki ala qadri nasabiki." You know, like your reward will be according to your, you know, the tiredness that you get. You know, if she had to do an extra part of worship because something happened during Hajj, you know, and she had to do extra, and it was more tiring for her. So when someone has to do greater effort in order to do an act of worship, you know, and they've got, obviously that also takes, you have to have more sincerity as well to be able to do that, because to stick to that and not compare yourself to others and all those things, it's not easy. So you have to just always revisit your intention, you know. But like, you know, alhamdulillah, yeah, barakallahu fiki. I was going to say, you know, alhamdulillah, I do actually have Quran classes here, you know, in Sydney. And obviously, you know, one of the main students I have are like quite a few from, you know, converts or, you know, especially non-Arabic speakers. One of the things I tell them, because, you know, they get frustrated, everyone gets frustrated, you know, you're trying to recite, it takes a long time to fix your huruf, you know, fix your letters. I tell them what Allah Ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. You know, don't try to, you know, rush. Just take your time. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will, just with time, with patience, with dua, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will facilitate, you know, open up the door for you. And remember the ayats of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلُنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Right? Like, those who strive for our sake, we guide them to our paths. So, it, you know, you make the effort, inshallah. You make the dua to ask Allah to open the doors for you. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala, He'll open the doors for you, inshallah. And Allah will be with you on your path, bi-idhnillah.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah khair. And that was so beautiful.
Jazakallah khair.
And you also spoke about reading the transliteration while you were memorizing with the translation. How important do you think it is for people to understand what they're memorizing?
Look, it is obviously very important, because otherwise you're not going to have any connection. You're not feeling, like, you're feeling, what am I doing this for? It's just like this big disconnect between the words and you. You know, so, but look, to be honest, the you have, that also takes patience too. Like, I went through a stage where I was memorizing a lot of things. I didn't understand them, but like, you know, if you can try to, it is important to pursue the path of Arabic language as much as you can as well. So I do encourage people to at least get like a background in Arabic that, you know, gets you to a level where you at least understand most of the Quran, you know, most of the words of the Quran at least. Mm-hmm. So that way, like, when you're memorizing, you can connect. But look, again, you know, memorizing can actually help you build up your Arabic vocabulary.
Right, absolutely.
You know, yeah, so I found that as well. I found that as I'm memorizing, I start picking up new words, and I start, okay, you start making connections, and so you actually do build up a vocabulary over time as well with the memorizing.
Yes, subhanAllah. Yeah. That's so beautiful. That, you know, something I think about as someone, there were so many times before I learned Arabic that I was like, I wish that I knew Arabic. And subhanAllah, just the fact that you can listen and read the translation, like, the more you do that, the more that your vocabulary increases. And it's such a gift that Allah gave one language that anyone can learn. This isn't something that you have to be born with. Like, you can learn a language. This is a,
yes,
this is a study. You can study this and then you can know it. SubhanAllah.
Inshallah, yeah.
SubhanAllah. Barakallahu fiki. Sheikha, is there anything before, unfortunately, your time is done?
Yeah, that's okay. Look, I think probably go back to what I was saying before. Like, whether you're talking about you memorizing or whether you're talking about trying to get your kids to memorize, remember the most important thing is, you know, is the intention, inshallah. You know, why you want to do this. Go revisit what is your why behind it. Remember, Allah Ta'ala says, "In إِيَّعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا يُؤْتِكُمْ خَيْرًا." Like, if Allah knows that you've got, inshallah, the good intention in your heart, He'll give you the good. Okay. He'll give you the good outcome. So, you know, one of the main reasons I wanted to get my kids to memorize the Quran is because in today's society, there's just so many negative pressures. And I knew I'm going to bring up my kids in a non-Muslim country. Not that the Muslim countries are, right, you know, all that much better either. But I just felt like there's going to be a lot of negative pressures on them. And, you know, that's affecting everyone's iman. We're detrimentally affected, you know, in our iman by all the pressures, right? So that's why I said to myself, you know, if I can, inshallah, you know, fill their hearts with the Quran, then bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this will be from the greatest protections for them, inshallah, you know. Of course, if it's done the right way, like I was mentioning, if you do that and you build them up from within, it's a protection bi-idhnillahi from, you know, misguidance and from the negative pressures, right? So that's one thing, the intention, why you want to do it, not because you, like, I think people need to be careful about, you know, putting their kids too much out there on social media. Like, it could feed the heart with the wrong kind of, you know, it could breed certain, maybe wrong kind of ideas about memorizing the Quran. We want them to do it, like, you know what I'm trying to say, from their heart and, you know, and have the right intention. And because the other thing too, I was going to say to you, it's possible that someone puts their kids out there when they're small, but then that pressure of having that public status could actually be really detrimental for them, like as a teenager, like, because if everyone knows him like that and then they're not able to live up to that image, like we all know, like, you know, Shaykhah Mariam, you know that being a public figure, not that you necessarily chose it, it just happened, right?
Awesome.
But there's a lot of pressures that come with that.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's hard enough as an adult to be able to deal with that, let alone you expect your kid to be able to deal with that, and they're going to go through the teenage years still. There's a lot of stuff happens, you know, in the teenage years. So look, yeah, I think the best thing, you know, mold them when they're small, you know. And the other thing, make a lot of dua, make a lot of dua for yourself, make a lot of dua for your kids, always in your sajda. Ask Allah tabaraka ta'ala, you know, to make you and them, inshallah, if you want to be from al-hafidhin al-Quran, you know. But look, our kids don't have to be hafidhin. They don't have to memorize the whole Quran. But at least we put what we can in their hearts, you know. And the most important thing, like I said, we want them to grow up with the love of the Quran and a habit in their daily life. Yes. That's the most important thing.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Jazakallah khair. And that is so important to clarify that this isn't about, oh, my kids have memorized the Quran, that's amazing. No, it's about giving them tools of connection that they feel grounded no matter where they are. And that inshallah, they can always go back to the meaning and live it and love it and call to it. And subhanAllah, it's just so powerful when you help your children have that tool of self-soothing and resilience and being able to face anything in life, knowing that they have the Quran with them is really so powerful. It's so powerful as an adult. So I can imagine as a child how powerful that must be.
Yeah.
Barakallah fiki. And such an honor and such a gift and a blessing to have you. I feel so motivated and inshallah inspired to take your words to heart and inshallah implement your advice into my own life. How can anyone classes with you or connect with you? What's the best way for people to learn from you?
So look, I don't actually run like Quran classes online. Alhamdulillah, I already have a few classes here. I just, but Allahumma barak, we're living in a time where Quran classes are everywhere. You can, where you seek and you will find, you know.
Other classes.
But besides that, you know, like I do have my, you know, my platform online. Basically, I use my platform more for allowing sisters to connect if they need to. They've got like questions about fiqh, for example, or just general Islamic questions. I you know, alhamdulillah, I have, you know, a Sharia degree. So I'm able to help sisters, you know, with anything. And also, you know, I do have my YouTube channel as well, where I put a few lectures on there.
Okay.
That's for the time being. Yeah.
On YouTube, and I have been inspired and motivated. I'm just gonna spell out your name, inshallah, for anybody who isn't able to see it. It's UMM_JAMAAL_UD_DIN, Jamal Uddin. You can look her up, inshallah, on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, and you're saying that people can send them your send you questions if they have them.
Yeah, but if you all start sending me questions today, I might not be able to answer them all in one go. I have a lot of other stuff going on. You know, Facebook is just like a small part of my life. Like, alhamdulillah, I have a big life here in Sydney. A lot of other responsibilities, alhamdulillah.
May Allah always give you success in everything that you do. Jazakallah khairan for taking the time out of all your responsibilities to speak with us. It has been such an honor.
Thank you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, you know, giving me the honor of having this chance to speak to my sisters around and, you know, around the world.
And
I ask Allah Ta'ala to fill our hearts and our children's hearts with the, you know, the love for the Quran, and may He unite us all in Jannat al-Firdaws, inshallah, ya Rabbil Alameen.
Allahumma ameen, Allahumma ameen.
Inshallah.
خيرا so much. بارك الله فيك. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت
نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.